Heroes, Season 2, Episode 49. My name is James, and I'll be your Game Master. Let's introduce our players.
Hi, my name's Molly, and I play Eden, the noble human sorceress slash wizard.
Hi, my name is Mark, and I play Geesh, the human fighter paladin.
Hello, I'm Alex, and I play Dupe, the dwarf fighter.
My name is Winter, and I play the elf druid Sariel.
And I'm Amanda. I play Glenna, the dwarven bard.
And last time on Sometimes Heroes, some stuff happened. Does anyone remember what it was?
Yes.
Elaborate, please.
Dupe is going to go get himself killed.
That's true. And the rest of you, what did you do?
We're with King Solemn, and we're rushing towards the Nothing That Listens, and we're trying to kill it before Queen gets there. The Everlasting Empress, not Queen. Yeah, the Empress Aramane. And she got her airship, and she and some people floated out of it.
Yeah, she's floating down. She's getting ready. What if we just killed her?
The king was being a little bitch.
He was?
He was?
Well, at first he was. He was annoying me.
That was like two years ago.
I know!
Impressions die hard for Eden.
And Dupe.
I think there's like a nobility thing because he was a little tushy tortured that Eden didn't show up. And apparently Eden's a little bothered. Or Molly's bothered. I don't know which one. One of them is bothered that he was a little air quotes.
We're going to be playing D&D season 35, and I'm going to be like, do y'all remember that one time that king was like really mean to me? It still really bothers me.
All right.
I'm just going to assume this is what nobles are like.
It's a noble thing. It's a note.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
All right. And as we finished, Dupe was at the edge of this crater, dragon, giant pile of tendrils and eyeball included. Above him, the Amber Dawn looming. And the Empress Aramane just sort of rippled through a giant mirror on the stern, on the keel of the ship. But as you were looking up, Dupe, you see a number of figures around her falling through. It seems like a small retinue of... I actually want you to roll a perception, Dupe.
I rolled an 8 in perception.
A small retinue of 3 figures. Two of them hobgoblins, one in finery, amber and black cloth with a big ol' fancy hat, what looks like a mace with like tiny spikes attached to it, and a scroll case tucked to his chest. Another one with a cat of 9 tails being gently pulled between his fists. And the third, a tiny goblin with a little jester costume on. That appears to be shimmying and jigging in the air. But on the side of the ship above you, start to launch out winged creatures with long spiked tails, mounted by Avzal warriors, hobgoblins, laden down with heavy armor, who begin to engage the Umbrian forces, launching spikes from the tails of the creatures that you recognize pretty much immediately to be manticores.
Maybe they are here to... give everyone free candy.
Possibly, but that candy are poisoned spikes.
Oh, so straight up they're attacking the Umbrian army?
Mm-hmm. They are...
Wow!
...aerially bombing the streets, the manticores doing flybys, throwing down spikes into the Umbrian troops.
Good lord! Let's everyone take a chill pill.
So much for keeping up appearances, huh? Wow.
Yeah, they threw that out the window real quick.
Seems like that's out the window. Dupe, you are currently engaged with the Empress and her retinue, a giant ancient black dragon, and the Nameless Hunger. The rest of you are with the Umbrian forces on the brink of this crater, separated by a mass of corrupted citizens and the Avzal Air Force harassing you. I want you all to roll initiative, because you are entering... Some of you are entering a direct combat.
Yeah! Galena rolled a 20 in initiative.
Geesh rolled an 18 in initiative.
Sariel rolled a 17 in initiative.
Oh, no. Damn it. Eden rolled a 19. I was hoping to roll something bad.
Actually, all of you rolled significantly higher than most of the Empress and her retinue.
Dupe rolled a 6 in initiative.
Oh, Dupe. I can't imagine anything but Dupe is actually kind of taken aback or startled or just catching his breath as he looks down and takes in this sudden bananas situation.
So confused.
The rest of you need to achieve 4 successes in a skills challenge before you arrive in this combat.
What?
Yep.
Thanks, Dupe.
Everyone who succeeds, the next round they show up.
Do we lose a hit dice and HP like last time?
Yep, if you fail.
Jesus Christ, James. I'm sorry. Blessed Paler, James.
You still have Agent Kane, Street Meat. Did we miss anyone? Blood Osiah, Agent Abel, and Lahu have been tapped.
Lahu was never tapped.
Oh, yeah. My boyfriend's dead.
Oh, Lahu hasn't been tapped. Okay.
Rip.
My sort of boyfriend.
I'm so sorry. Bad.
Oh, my God, you guys.
That one guy you went on a date with once.
He was nice. Mm-hmm, it's like better than my previous track record.
That's true.
Is Oost still hanging out with me?
To keep this fight simple and not terrifying for me, I already have 11 types of enemies that I'm running. Oost is basically going to turn around and punch a manticore that's flying at you, Dupe.
Ah, sweet.
Is preventing the Avzal Air Force from just knocking you off this roof.
Excellent.
Dupe starts this combat in round one.
All right. Like now?
Like now, except Galena is the top of the order, so you are going to start in the skills challenge. This fight has changed from fighting a mindless and relatively predictable army of untrained combatants to a trained air force along with a massive airship that occasionally throws down these large explosives onto the city.
Okay, but are we still running from the castle, or are we at the place now?
You and the rest of this army are very close to this crater at the center of the city in Midtown, where the eye has fallen. You were previously nearing the mop-up stage of, we've got this handled, it's just a matter of time until we win, until this ship deployed about 30 manticores with riders, who are now strafing the streets, throwing spikes down into soldiers, much like arrows.
This is bullshit.
I agree.
Okay.
Do you agree if you're the one who's doing this, James?
Because that's how I intended it to feel.
Okay. All right.
James is like, it's all according to plan.
Just burns hands over here.
It's all according to Kaikaku. Kaikaku means plan.
God damn it.
Okay.
So the last thing you were doing, Galena, was running a field hospital, basically. So move from there to something else.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to figure out what I can do that it isn't a spell. Can they hear me, the people in the manticores?
Oh, undoubtedly.
Okay, so I'm going to use deception. I'm going to say to the closest group of manticore riders, what are you doing? Stop doing that. We are here to serve your queen. You're killing her servants. And that's a 14. It's a good thing I have high deception. Basically, I'm trying to convince them that they're being dumb and that they're killing people that are friends with the queen or, like, there to help the queen.
It seems a little early in the battle to be like, that plan you were just given is wrong. How are you doing this beyond just being like, hey, you're wrong? How do you convince them that the orders that they've undoubtedly just received are incorrect or that they're committing them in the wrong fashion? Because Galena sees them, like, off of an aircraft carrier almost, jumping off the ship, like, 30 seconds ago, and attacking you guys. So, you would assume that they've just received orders like, oh, go kill those guys.
Amanda, would you like a suggestion that makes your deception work very easily?
Sure.
You try to convince them that we're agents. Eyes of Aramane in disguise.
I don't know. Well, you have that outfit.
Right, but they were disguised. They were illusions, I'm saying.
Well, also, you can, it's a skills challenge, just grab the outfit from Guige and run up onto a roof and wave it at them and be like, don't attack this section, because this is us.
Okay. I was going to say I would use prestidigitation to, like, flash, like, myself in that outfit real quick. To make it look like, you know, look, we're with you guys, and then I'll flash myself in that outfit, and then...
Oh, that's pretty good, too. I mean, yeah. It's obviously magic, but, like, you are trying to be like, this is magic, so it's fine.
Yeah, and I rolled a 14.
All right. So, a 14 to deception just barely passes. Clearly, like, the point man of this trio of manticore riders hears you, and does a subtle, like, salute off to the side and starts attacking a different street, allowing the main force of the king and his men to advance forward. And Galena, next round, you will join the fray. Eden, you're up.
I want to... Ooh, what is this? Dimension door. Oh, so it's like a fancy teleport.
Mm-hmm.
You should fly up there and slap the Empress.
I'm just gonna... Okay, here's the plan. I'm gonna teleport, and I'm gonna end up right in front of her face, and I'm gonna go, boo! And she's gonna be so startled that she is gonna forget what she's doing, and then we win.
That could happen. I mean, you would teleport there and then say boo and she would be startled, then you would immediately fall onto the spongy body of the nothing that listens, aka the nameless hunger, which could, yeah, I feel like that would be good for your health.
Probably get chicken pox to death.
Maybe.
May I offer a suggestion?
Anytime.
Within that idea, how about you find an alleyway to teleport to get around? No, but they're in the air, darn. Never mind. For some reason, I thought the Manticore forces were ground forces. I don't know then.
You have plenty of ground problems to deal with. It just seemed like you were going to win.
Well, then I would say you could, to try and keep up her ruse, teleport around the enemies ahead of us, pop some sick magic on them to clear a path. But the idea is that you're trying to hide yourself so they don't see that you're not, you know, to keep up the ruse. I.e., you roll Arcana because you're trying to do a very specific thing.
Wait, to keep up Amanda's ruse?
Yes, Galena's ruse.
Well, if we're really going to be dedicated to that, then we need to start smacking our allies around.
Yeah, I don't want that. I'm just not crazy about forfeiting that, because I'm pretty sure if we commit to it hard enough, James will give us some sort of bonus for it, or benefit.
You metagaming person, you. Except it's completely true.
Yeah.
So these air troops, how strong on average do they look? I don't know how much I can actually tell just by looking at them.
These guys are clearly the elite. They are very strong warriors. They are not as strong as you.
Oh, frack. So trying to put them to sleep is not going to work.
If that somehow, in some convoluted fashion, helped you in some way, this is a skills challenge, it's narrative, your spells can be more powerful than they should be by virtue of this taking a narrative amount of time. This is not a combat where things take 6 seconds, except it kind of is. This is more the moments and minutes before Dupe gets here, whether you are able to break through personally or not. Because no matter what, the army isn't getting there in time to make a difference here.
Okay, so Eden is going to try to cast sleep on not all, but one manticore. And then steal his ride.
Okay. That sounds legit. I think you didn't use Arcana last time, so that's fine. So you're sleeping the Manticore and its rider, and then the rider falls off, and then you hop on the Manticore and, like, fly over the line?
Correct.
Dope. All right, roll it.
Just Arcana?
Mm-hmm. Unless you think it should be something else, like animal handling might be legitimate in this case.
I'm not taking that risk. No, Arcana, it shall be.
Fair enough.
Oh, snap! Eden rolled a 22. Not a natural 20, but yeah. Ooh, that was good. Yes, Eden rolled a 22 in Arcana.
All right. As one of the waves of manticores is flying over, throwing down shards, the men and women of Umbria lifting shields to stop them, these things are like small javelins piercing through their shields. Eden, you weave magic in front of one of the riders, and he just, like, slides off of his ride and hits the ground and, you know, very clearly crunch dies. But his ride sort of gently flaps down to the ground, and a bunch of Umbrian troops get around it like, okay, we're gonna stab this thing now that it's down, but you stop them and hop on its back and, you know, like, do a couple of heel clicks and, Yah beasties, and it flies you over the line of corrupted civilians and lands you in the street, and you have entered the combat.
Wow, that went way better than I thought it was going to. Yes. He was so cooperative.
It was sleepy, it didn't know. this thing does eventually realize that you're not its rider, and without orders, it doesn't attack you, it's tame, but it just, like, ah, and bucks you off and flies away.
Farewell. Thank you for your help. I hope you live a long and fulfilling life.
Okay, Guige, you're up.
Now I 100% want to say I run to Eden's aid and I want to use animal handling so I can ride a manticore into battle because I can't fly.
So you want to be able to keep the manticore?
Yes, I want to fly on the manticore, James, because I can't fly. I'm a fighter.
Okay, so the question is, do you want to try to be this manticore's rider, which will introduce a manticore on your side that Guige is riding, which will be much higher difficulty, or just hang on as Eden flies over and coach her through guiding this manticore so you also end up on the other side? So you take a pretty high risk, I'm going to say, because the DC for beating this, I told you guys already, was 14. If you try to do this, it's 18, but you would get a manticore.
All right.
Because it would think that you are its rider.
Who's dying so I can get a manticore?
Oh, no.
Would Guige, can I buff this roll?
I think, yes, you can buff this roll because it's a spell spent. That's a resource burned.
Or can this be a combined thing?
Nope.
Where it's both, okay.
It's already a combined thing.
Can you afford the spell? I don't know how many spells you have.
I'm chewing through them. Because it's high risk, high reward. For me, it's worth it to spend the spell.
Okay.
So just out of character, although I'm sure Sariel would have discussed this with teammates before, I can give you Fox's Cunning, which will give you an advantage on intelligence, Owl's Wisdom, which will give you an advantage on wisdom.
Which one is animal handling, James? It's a little too long to fit in the bracket, so I can't read it.
I think it's wisdom, because it's like farmer, the experience of dealing with animals.
And then Mark will type in base stat, animal handling. It is wisdom. Okay. So if you want to give me wisdom, Sariel.
So Sariel will cast Enhance Ability and give Guige that sweet Owl's Wisdom.
All right. So as this thing is coming down, you see that glint in Guige's eye and the mushrooms be like,
Sariel, help! Guige wants to ride that sharp bat lion. Can you make him magic smart?
And you know. So you cast Owl's Wisdom on him. Roll that ability at advantage.
Oh, at advantage.
That's what that spell does, right? I'm not full of it?
I believe
yes,
so.
Yes, advantage on wisdom check. Okay. Do I roll wisdom or just roll animal handling?
Animal handling. At advantage.
18, James. I got
my god.
Wow, what a way to go.
This is actually happening.
Thank you, Winter.
Guige and Eden. Eden, you feel kind of cheated out of this moment because you killed a dude and took his mount. And you're just sitting there sort of doing that circle trot that horses do when you pull too hard to one side with this manticore and it's not doing what you want it to do. And Guige just muscles in front of you and pulls the thing and strokes its side and is like, come on, buddy, you got this.
I think it'd be more like...
How did you do that?
Look, I have experience with horses.
Is what Eden would say.
So do I.
I grew up riding horses.
But did you take care of the horse or did you just ride the horse? Because there's a difference.
Fine. Mostly the latter.
I want to say Guige whispers very friendly things to it and gives it just the right types of scratchies, even though it's a freaking manticore.
Yep.
He's like, we're on.
All right.
And he mounts that manticore.
Pink manticore is now Guige's mount.
Oh, snap!
As you fly over the line with Eden and drop her off.
Thank you, Winter!
This is the coolest thing. Nothing I can do is gonna top that. I was just gonna spend a cantrip to summon some bugs to interfere with the other manticore riders.
They just fly through like big clouds and gnats.
That's
like,
awesome.
Oh god. If only we had goggles.
Like bees or something.
Maybe there's dragonflies because it's a warm area.
They're just viciously attacked by butterflies.
Yes, it's the beginning of Men in Black. They just, like, plap onto a bunch of hobgoblin faces.
Oh, jeez. But that is that's what I got. Just run some disruption.
Okay, so what do you think that is? Is that nature? Just use nature?
Yeah, I think I just used nature, so it couldn't be nature. Did I use nature or did I use...
It also can't be animal handling. So I'm trying to think of a way to sell this. I think maybe the challenge isn't... Like, you're just doing that, but then the actual challenge is now that there's less heat on the Umbrian military, there's a way for you to get through. What is that way? because they're still dealing with a horde of corrupted citizenry.
Right.
But you have a bunch of manticore riders up there going blah, 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 blah.
I have a suggestion. It's not super cool or fun, but I can give it to you if you want.
Yeah, I'll take it.
There's a lot of buildings. If you want, you could say you find an alleyway and an open door that people can get through so they can get some cover.
The main thing we want to be doing is getting Sariel past the enemy.
Well,
then you find an alleyway.
Yeah, that sounds...
Or since you can turn into things, a small crevice to slip yourself through.
Well, my action was summoning the critters.
Stealth could be a thing.
Yeah, I was thinking stealth my way in.
Yeah, stealth is a perfectly viable option.
Okay, so...
I really like the idea of blinding the eyes in the sky and then being like, don't look at me, and sideways scooting down the street.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Yes. Zoidberg.
Okay, I'm gonna roll a stealth.
Okay.
15 in stealth.
Sariel, as you blind a rider, he directs his manticore falsely. That manticore must really trust his direction because it just slams into a crowd.
Oh no.
Of corrupted citizenry and starts mauling them to death, and they get distracted for a second, and you just whoop 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 by along the wall behind a bunch of humans and dwarves with green eyes growing out of their flesh, getting past the line and join the conflict. Good job, y'all. That was
nice.
Much more effective than I thought it would be.
Thank you, Winter. I'm going to go look up the movement speed on a flying manticore now.
Manticore has the movement speed of 50 feet flying and 30 feet running.
I like that he already knows.
Guess what? There's going to be some manticores that don't like you.
Oh, well, there you go.
And we enter the combat. As you run into the crater that Doop has been looking down into this entire time, you see that around the edges of it have landed three figures. A man with a whip, a man with a mace, hobgoblins both, and a little goblin who appears to have just landed on a roof next to Doop. In the center of the crater, the Nameless Hunger resides, its tendrils still thrashing about aimlessly, its eye firmly glued to the mirror and the Empress above. And directly above it, maybe 30 feet, stands in the air, hovering, the Empress Aramane, her five horns sporting her golden crown. She looks down, looks out in a direction where it seems like nobody is, and says, take care of them. Then spreads out her hands and begins chanting. The Nameless Hunger's tendrils go up and form almost a pod around her with the tendrils. You occasionally catch glimpses of her between them.
This is weird.
The man with the mace holds out a hand towards the entrance of the street most of you are coming down and says, daughter of Asmodeus, call upon your father's aid, and casts Guardian of Faith in the center. A figure of light emerges in the center of the street wielding a sword and sort of makes the Kylo Ren lightsaber sound. Wah, 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 wah. Yeah.
He has a spicy lightsaber.
Spicy lightsaber. Eden, as you are sliding off the edge of this manticore, as the ride was pretty rough, you hear, right as your feet touch the ground, a voice vibrating through your very essence.
Not this again.
And you hear your true name being called, and it feels like there is nothing you can do to oppose what this thing demands of you. And it says, Eden, know that I am beyond redemption. I will swallow this city before I am lost, burying the memory beyond the reach of all mortal things. One of your companions is my sleeping kin. Tell them they may become my vessel to renew me.
What?
As you're listening, you know—
I'm sorry, new phone, who dis?
You recognize this voice as the eldest dragon, the black dragon that you met under the city.
Oh!
You know that this thing could make you do something, but hasn't. It has said, please do, maybe. Here's the sitch. I'm out.
And sorry, remind me what he said. He said, one of my companions is what now?
It's sleeping kin. Tell them they may become a vessel to renew me.
Oh, I hope it's not Sten, because that would be awkward.
It would be awkward. And as you're running onto the street in this crater, much like Doop, you see the Nameless Hunger, the Empress and her retinue, as well as the black dragon that once resided under Black Hill that has smashed through half of a large building and is now laying on its side, breathing, labored.
Oh no. Oh! What kind of dragon is the black dragon again?
Black? So, black dragons do not have wings, do not have breath, but instead have immensely hard scales. They are considered to be invulnerable to non-magical weapons by most accounts. Much like Smaug, it's like you need to find the one scale that's missing to stab this fool kind of thing in most stories of normal people.
One of us is his sleeping kin, and what exactly? We would purify him?
Tell them they may become my vessel to renew me.
Okay.
All right. From there, the man with the whip, the cat of nine tails, releases it from his other hand, whirls it above his head, and cracks it. And several manticores drop kobolds on the ground, eight of them in total. They snarl like feral beings and mill about sort of disorganized until he cracks his whip again, and they all look towards you, snarl, and begin loping forwards.
I hope it's Dupe.
You hope it's Dupe?
The vessel
that can, like, level up to dragon.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. All right. In the next moment, a manticore lands in the street behind you, not Gigi's.
Because I'm not on it.
Yep. And hurls some tail spikes on its way down at Galena.
Hey.
Do a 19 and a 14 hit you?
Yes.
Both or one?
My armor class is 13.
You take 13 damage. Sorry. No, wait. Not 13.
No.
11 damage.
Yes.
And it advances on you, preparing to claw and bite you. Its lion face and claws scratching the ground. Its saddle empty. The kobolds advance. And next to you, Dupe, this small goblin alights upon the roof, having just floated down from this airship in a full jester outfit with a little tiny cane, and says,
"Dead man walking, running, tumbling, further into being truly alive? Probably not. You reek of death."
And just gently tip-taps the back of your armor as it's coming down and casts Vicious Mockery.
Rude.
Make a wisdom save. Aw, darn.
Dupe rolled 13 for a wisdom save.
Just barely saves. This thing lands and prances behind you, and you feel a slight sting. Ouch. That's mean to say that I will die, but I've accepted that already.
And, like, tell me something I don't know.
Yeah. And it is your turn.
Yay. Does it take, like, a bonus action or something to take out the Sten Lantern?
The Sten Lantern, I'm going to assume, has been used a bunch of times already. And you think that it has maybe one use left.
I don't really want to use him. I mostly want to try and put him somewhere.
Oh, then he's out. He's on your belt, let's say.
Okay. How far can I throw it?
Throw it?
Yeah.
Generally, throwing weapons are 20 to 60 feet.
But I don't really want him to, like, hurt anything. I just want to locate him.
Yeah, you can throw him up to 60 feet. 20 in a controlled fashion. 60 in an uncontrolled fashion.
How far is that? Where's the ruler? Let's go 60-ish. Okay, 50. I mostly want to get the lantern in front of the party.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you can do that, but you're, like, hurling it pretty hard into a street.
Yeah, I want to try and do that.
That's not a problem. You hurl it into a street. There is a splash of flame, which definitely begins to set a building on fire, but gently.
Okay. Well, before I, like, as I'm throwing it, I'll be like, "Sten, protect your companions."
Okay.
And then I'll throw it. Bye-bye, Sten. It has been fun.
Guys, oh, no. There is a lantern in the street in front of you that emerges out of a roof nearby, which you look up and you see Dupe up there. What else are you doing? I'm going to say that's a bonus action. To just hurl a lantern, or possibly one of your attacks, if you end up attacking this round.
Wait, so is it one of my attacks, or not?
If you attack, I mean, it's one of your attacks.
Then it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you do something else, it's just a bonus action.
Well, I guess that's one of my attacks then, because I'm going to hit this little goblin-y guy.
All right.
Swing your hammer into his face.
Did mean things to me.
That it did. Make a charisma check. as you attempt to attack it.
Oh, f***. I rolled an 8 in charisma.
You turn, hurl Sten Lantern into the street, and then you draw Godslayer to try to smack this guy, and you can't help but have your cold, angry heart warmed by this crooked face and lopsided smile as this thing just stares up at you in the most innocent fashion possible.
That is kind of cute.
You are forced to compliment it instead.
Oh.
Oh my god.
It is ugly thing, but you can say whatever you want.
I find you adorable and harmless.
So do most people! And it hugs your leg.
Oh. Ah, man. Physical contact. No. Gross.
You just, like, shake it off. Do you want to move during this round?
Yeah, I should probably get down. How far is it to get down from this roof?
About 10 feet in the air. If you run over to where the street is, you can land safely. If you jump down into the crater itself, it's an acrobatics check to not take falling damage.
So wait, which part is the crater itself, and then which part is not? So, like, this whole thing?
Anything that is straight into the circle hole that I'm showing you right now. But if you run over to one of these streets over here, you can jump down safely.
Okay. Does it matter if I use Remarkable Athlete? Because that lets me jump farther. Does that make a difference as far as, like, if I will get hurt by jumping farther?
Rules Corner. So, since Dupe accepted the oath for the hammer, his class, subclass, changed from Battlemaster to Champion, as he no longer cares about defending himself or others, and is instead all about dishing out the bad juju to other people. This gives him the ability to perform extraordinary athletic feats, but it takes away all of his other things that were more finesse fighting. But yes, I believe that Extraordinary Athlete, or whatever it's called, would allow you to jump into the crater without damage. That makes a lot of sense.
Cool, let's do that.
You want me to read it real quick?
Sure, go for it.
Starting at 7th level, you can add half your proficiency bonus round up to any strength, dexterity, or constitution check you make that doesn't already use your proficiency bonus. In addition, when you make a running long jump, the distance you can cover increases by a number of feet equal to your strength modifier.
Yeah, this may not technically be a long jump, but I'm kind of into it as a thing that's useful in this situation. Because how often do you make running long jumps in D&D? Unless you're, like, real hard dungeon crawling.
Right. Do-do-do. I don't want to get too far in there. I guess I will just jump there.
Okay. You just jump pretty much straight down?
Yeah.
Cool. You jump down and slide into the crater, landing near one of the loping forward kobolds. It's draconic mouth slavering as it looks forward to some man and or dwarf flesh.
Yeah. Do I still have my attack?
You spent one throwing and one trying to slap a goblin. Do you have 3 attacks or only 2?
No, just 2. I wasn't sure if the trying to hit the goblin counted or not.
Yeah, it counted. All right. Galena, you're up.
All right. I've got an idea for against the manticore. I'm going to cast Wave Strike.
Okay. The one behind you? Go for it. It's going to make a con save, I believe. It is going to fail. Ooh, you're casting at a higher level. Woof.
Yeah, because I've got a lot of spell usage in 3, and for some reason not a lot of spells in level 3.
It's going to deal 21 damage and push it back 10 feet. You see this creature stumble back into the street, wet and unhappy, but much further away from you, and now you are free to move without it clawing and or biting you.
Where is the Sten Lantern?
The Sten Lantern is near Gish.
I'm going to move towards it.
I'm going to say you can, with your move, get to it and pick it up with a bonus action, if that's what you want to spend your action doing.
I will do this thing.
All right. You now have the Sten Lantern. And Eden, it is your turn.
Okay. Wait, Gish, are you still riding that manticore?
Yes. There are another manticore flew in from the back to try and attack us.
Okay, Glenna, what did you do?
I wave struck him, so he slapped him with water and it hurt and pushed him away.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yes.
All right, I am going to throw some lightning at it. Nothing too crazy at this point. I think I'm just going to use Lightning Bolt, especially since it would be wet at this point. Seems like a good opportunity to use science.
Reasonable.
Yes.
Although you may have to move so you don't accidentally Lightning Bolt Asariel, because you no longer...
Can I use Careful Spell?
You are unfortunately out of sorcery points.
Oh, dang it. Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm going to have to move. Give me one sec. Let's see here.
So it's also a flying type. Does that mean she'll do double damage on top of that?
Ugh. Get out of here.
Sorry, I had to.
I will move to my left / Eden's right. So in front of Gij and his new pet and kind of standing next to Sariel. And then I will cast the spell.
Okay. It will make its save at disadvantage as it's off balance and damp. Wow.
Oh, yeesh.
Luckily, being a winged creature allows you to unground yourself pretty easily. And it rolls a 21 in dexterity and only takes half the damage of the 34 coming at it. 17 damage.
Oh, well, that's still a thing.
It appears to be in a bad way, but still up. Gij, you are up. Mounted as you are atop a manticore that seems to be any other trained warhorse you've ridden before.
Oh boy. Okay. It looks like they got that manticore situation behind us. All right. There is a bunch of kobolds.
Oh, actually, real quick. Eden, before we end your turn, do you want to tell anything to Gij or anyone else in the party?
You look lovely today.
Thank you.
Your All right, hat continue. Looks especially symmetrical today.
I'm surprised you would say that because I'm wearing a helmet.
I mean, your helmet.
Thank you.
I forgot that Gij was wearing full plate.
Yep.
Nice.
Eden, did you mushroom to us with the dragon's head?
At this point, I probably wouldn't, just because everything's kind of chaotic right now, and I don't know how we would be able to huddle up right now and figure out, all right, which one of you is it?
Well, you can just, as the only person who understands dragon, you could mushroom that to the mushrooms, which then tell all of us. That's why I said, do you mushroom it to us?
I'm cool with you not telling him this turn.
Yeah,
by the way.
I'm going to wait.
Okay. So what is this red business, this whirly stuff, James? What is that? Is that a person, a magic person?
Whirly business in front of you, you saw a fancily dressed man with a large hat that looks kind of like it's curled up in a scroll on his head, mm-hmm. point and demand assistance from his god and his empress. And a phantom hobgoblin warrior appeared in the center of the street, wielding a spear, making a crackling woom-woom sound. Do you want to try to knowledge that? Like, well, what is this?
Yeah, I mean, I guess knowledge checks are free. What would I roll on that?
Do you think it's arcane? Do you think it's natural? Or do you think it's religious?
Yeah, it's clearly religious. So let's do a religion and just eat it. So I rolled a 15 in religion, James.
This is a guardian of faith. This is one of the least servants that can be summoned by a priest. It is technically an angel, but it is bound to a spot and can only strike you if you move near it.
How close to it? Within 5 feet?
You're not sure.
I'm not sure. Okay.
This thing seems to have a physical reach of about 5 feet.
So where is the ruler? Okay. I will immediately mushroom that to everyone else. And then I will shout, I'm going to go for the Empress. I'm afraid she might take it over if we take too long. And I'm just going to, like, because I'm on a friggin' manticore now, fly up and around this guy.
So how high above this guy do you want to fly?
Can I just, like, fly off to the side and then in?
You can fly as off to the side as you have room for, which is 10 feet.
Okay, then. So how about, so I fly here and then I fly 20 feet in. Is that cool?
You can move to here.
Move to there. And spells.
And you come within 10 feet of this enemy when you do this.
Sacred Radiance has a range of 60 feet. Okay, then. I'm going to get so torn up. So right here? Is that where it was? Right here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then. I'm going to head over there.
As you are flying by, this creature lances its spear out and strikes you, and you take 20 radiant damage, as does your manticore.
Really? So because it's magic, it hits me straight away? And when I get up there?
I'm sorry. Make a dexterity saving throw. Thank you for reminding me.
So I do a dex save.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so I'd like to say, wait, so what does the dex save do?
The dex save, if you fail, it hits you. If you crit fail, like you just did, it would deal double damage.
Really? double? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So 40?
Mm-hmm. Although, thankfully, your manticore does not take any damage. I am willing, because we just talked about this beforehand, I forgot about it, to allow you to split the damage with your manticore.
What's the move I have called? Indomitable?
To roll your save again? Yes.
Where's that at? Indomitable. Reroll a saving throw that you fail. You must use the new roll. Regain this ability after a long rest. Jeez, well, I feel like anything's better than a 3. Yeah, I guess I'll go again.
Okay.
No. No. Okay, you know what? The manticore will take half damage because I feel like that's way too important to use to use now.
Okay, you angle your new warhorse between you and this radiant spear. It goes through the meat of the manticore's chest and spears into your armor, burning you.
So how much do I take? 20?
20.
All right. And now I'm going to cast Sacred Radiance on the everlasting and ever-enchanting goddess Aramane. And since it is almost a full moon, what do I do? Do I cast at a higher level?
I believe Sacred Radiance is a cantrip.
Can you not
I will take this into effect. But as you ride forward, throwing out your shield and yelling the prayer...
Yes, I know you want me to yell the prayer. Hold on. I'm still trying to fix the...
You don't have to yell the prayer.
So you want me to just cast it?
Yes, please.
Okay.
The tendrils of the Nameless Hunger that have come up in a pod around the Empress intercept the light, but one quarter of the sections has been reduced as you throw out the light to like a very Swiss cheese version of what they used to be,
mm-hmm.
through which you can see the Empress as you deal 16 damage to them.
Nice. And I guess that's everything. I did my bonus, I did my movement, and I did my attack.
All right. Sariel, you're up.
And just so it's clear, and so you know I'm high in the air currently, right?
You are not higher in the air because you chose not to get any elevation.
Oh.
You chose to take all of your move in lateral movement, which is why I asked how high do you want to go, because you could have flown over this guy rather than...
I thought that's what...
You said, I want to fly around him.
In the crater, I flew straight out.
Oh, so you're like 10 feet in the air.
Okay.
You're still at the first level of elevation in the crater.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you are in the air. You're just not super high in the air.
Okay.
All right, Sariel, what's up? There is a manticore behind you. The buildings on both sides are on fire. There is a radiant hobgoblin warrior facing off against you, who just speared Gige as you went by.
The radiant warrior Gige did message to us is something that someone has summoned. Am I understanding that correctly?
I think you probably all saw that, but I explained to you, essentially what it was.
Yeah, you know that it can't move.
Yeah, that's the key part that I communicated.
I mean, we saw it stab Geesh, so I'm sure we can see we can't get around it.
Well, I went, 10 feet out and it still hit me, James?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was the guinea pig for you guys. Even if you go 10 feet around it, it will still hit you. You don't know if going 15 out will spare you its wrath.
Sorry, I'm just reviewing my spells.
Okay. You can also make a knowledge roll on something that's going on. You don't have to.
Shoot. Yeah, that's actually what I meant to do. Because Sariel has lived in the Abzal, I'm sure she has some kind of knowledge of their military. Even if it's only very academic, I'm sure it's more than what the team currently has.
Okay.
Could I do a knowledge roll on... I'm debating doing it on manticore handlers, or if I should try to get something more related to the Empress herself.
It's up to you. I mean, there is one thing that you might have advantage on in this situation because of a book you have.
The Dragons and Kobolds.
I have a book of poetry, The History of Great Families, and Heathen Dragons is observed by Tarkus Sill.
Ah, Heathen Dragons. That might help you out at this moment, depending on who you gander at.
If I'm thinking about Heathen Dragons, I'm probably going to be gandering at the Heathen Dragon. Ah.
The dragon itself, the great black dragon that resides in the ruins of a building right next to you.
Someone say there are also kobolds around, or did I hallucinate that?
There are also kobolds around. They appear to be tamed and acting like dogs.
Let's see what that's all about, because the description specifically says grants advantage on history and religion rolls regarding kobolds.
Please counter-tame his kobolds.
I'm stumbling all over myself. So I am going to roll religion at advantage to see what those kobolds are all about.
Mm-hmm.
Sario rolled a 19 in religion.
Those kobolds are very clearly young, They're young in the age where they are impressionable and not willful and intelligent as they are known to be when they age up a little bit. But in the book, you read that when they encounter a elder dragonkin, they are immediately submissive.
Oh.
But usually these encounters involve a show of force.
Where's Eden in relation to me?
She's standing right next to you, facing off against a manticore.
I'll always be with you.
Hey, Eden, I know you're doing this whole manticore fighting thing right now, but them kobolds, though.
What about them?
In this book, there is a phrase that will make them subservient to an elder dragon, but it requires a show of force.
Not so much a phrase, so much as a presentation. Just the presence of an elder dragonkin.
But you gotta
dazzle them.
Okay, I'm sure I can think of something.
All right, Sariel, you've imparted this knowledge. What do you do now?
I go back to figuring out if Magic Circle can isolate that thing if I cast it in reverse.
I think Magic Circle takes like a minute minimum to cast.
Okay.
With your special items and like 10 minutes without.
Burning buildings. Oh, I am going to dominate Beast. I'm going to try to dominate Beast on the Manticore that is currently trying to start stuff.
Woof. I mean, rar.
Oh, no.
Did I just fail that?
No, it did.
Oh, nice. Sweet.
So I guess we have two Manticores to ride now.
You are concentrating, but this Manticore, despite having been splashed violently and thrown lightning at, is now 100% on your side.
Can I give him the scritchies? Oh my god, I want to say Sariel saw where Guige gave the good scritchies. She wants to give the scritchies.
This thing approaches you. You make the appropriate movements to demonstrate dominance and also familial relation. Like, it's not just like, I'm going to murder you dominance. And then you give the scritchies, and now it's 100% on your side.
Nice.
Joke's on you, Aramane. These are our manticores now.
Look, we might get team wiped, but some manticores are going to get some good scritchies out of this. All right, I'm pretty pleased with that. Eden can fly, so could Sariel, and thematically, if she doesn't fight it, Galena take the Basically, I'd like to set it up, assuming it can't be done this round, that Sariel and Galena will ride the manticore up and over the obstacle. Yeah, the shiny dude.
Yes, both Galena and Eden weigh together about as much as Guige does at the moment.
Because I'm in full plate.
With all the plate.
Oh, right.
Various gear he is carrying. So yes, definitely. You can, as it is your turn, move the manticore in between them, and they will be carried up on its back next time it's your turn.
Nice.
So it's probably just better for Eden to just fly around.
The hobgoblin cleric in the fancy gear advances a little ways and cries out, "Dare you subvert those subservient to the Empress?" and points at Guige. But at first you think he's pointing at you, Guige, but then you realize he's pointing at the manticore underneath you, and he casts blindness and deafness.
Oh no.
In an attempt to make your manticore lose control underneath you.
Wow, they're just not about friendship with these Asmodeus worshippers. Okay.
Your manticore is going to make a con saving throw to not get blinded in the first place. Woof. Also critically fails. These manticores are not doing well. Guige, your manticore that was hovering above these kobolds that were converging, suddenly the only thing you can think that's akin to this, it's all been kind of weird because you aren't on a horse, you're on something with wings.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been pretty normal up until now, and suddenly this thing bucks underneath you, and it bucks hard. I want you to make a acrobatics check to attempt to land safely.
Okay, well now I'm guessing I'm glad I wasn't that high up.
Yep, accidental good call.
14 acrobatics.
That is good enough. This manticore hits the ground, and you manage to dismount, tuck and roll in plate across this rocky, black, sharp soil and jagged rock, landing nearby. But this manticore is just clawing at its own face and thrashing around.
Oh no. Mantafriend, stop.
The ancient black dragon, as the kobolds sort of scoot near it, it lashes out with its tail and smashes one of them.
Cool.
just completely destroying it. As you hit the ground, Geesh, there is a shimmer nearby.
Son of a gun.
As a familiar presence emerges, and you see a hand of Aramane emerging right next to you, which makes two greatsword attacks at advantage.
Okie doke.
Do a 20 and a 24 hit you?
The 20 match my AC. So does that mean they hit me?
Yep, both hit you.
So then I'm going to parry.
Parry?
Reaction to reduce damage. 1d8 plus 2. Spend 1. 9.
So you manage to negate one of the attacks. The other one hits fully, dealing 9 slashing damage.
So I take 9 damage?
Yes, take 9 damage.
Oh, okay. Got it.
The Houndmaster acts and cracks his whip. The kobolds advance. Two of them descend upon the manticore. Two of them attack Moop and take an immediate action as the Houndmaster is driving them forward. Two attacks versus Moop. Maul, maul. And two attacks versus the manticore. Maul, maul. The manticore takes both attacks, taking 13 damage. Dupe, you take one attack, 6 damage, but the other kobold is flipped away by you and knocked prone as it critically fails in its attack.
Hooray, kind of.
The kobolds that just attack again because they were being driven forward by the guy. Dupe, dupe. Manticore, manticore. Wow, that's bad. They don't hit dupe at all, 16 and 11, and they don't hit the manticore either, except one of them crit fails as well because they are terrible. And falls prone. The red group advances around you, Geesh. The Hand of Aramane now flanking you with these guys. You are ostensibly surrounded. They all attack with advantage.
Oh, this is bad.
So you take 3 attacks. 2 of them hit, 23 and 24. The other one does not. And you take 13 damage.
Oof. Oof.
Next is the Jester. It appears next to you, Eden, having hopped off a roof, holding up its scepter, which lets it float gently to the ground and lands next to you.
Aw, hello!
And it says, "Why do your feet ever touch the ground? You could live forever in the sky." And it just, like, boops you on the leg and make a wisdom save as it casts Vicious Mockery on you.
Jeez.
Nice.
Eden rolled a 13.
That just barely passes. You manage resist the Vicious Mockery, but this thing, sits next to you, sort of doing a little jig. And Dupe, it is your turn.
Is one of these kobolds still prone?
Yes.
Wait, I'm going to yell at it and then hit it with a hammer.
Ouch.
Ooh.
Is that an advantage?
Yes, it is currently prone.
Hooray. Roll the 24.
Smoosh that angry pupper. You deal 13 damage and kill that kobold, smashing its head into pulp.
Rawr. Okay. I guess I'll hit the other one now.
All right, not at advantage.
Yes. Roll the 23.
Another kobold goes smish and gross on your hammer.
Hooray. Okay, time to move.
Are you running down into the depression?
Yes. How far can I go in there?
As you are running down the slope, it is somewhat difficult terrain. If you go as if it's difficult terrain, you move half as fast, but there's no danger. But if you go your full move speed, you have to make an acrobatic save to not tumble into the nameless hunger.
Okay. I'll just go down one level then. I go 15?
Yes, you can go 15.
Hooray.
I think that's a reasonable thing. You can go one level different without falling.
Okay, cool. That is all. All
right. A gap in the tendrils of the Nameless Hunger exposes the Empress Aramane. You see just a mist of particulate coming up from the Nameless Hunger into her arms and legs, as if she is a Hoover vacuum. But she looks out beyond you, Dupe, and says, "Lazy creatures, rise." And behind you, the kobolds get back up, their heads still not so intact, as well as some nearby dead citizens and soldiers who were killed in the initial blast, you assume, stand up, their bones still broken, but now clearly zombies.
Yay, more things to kill.
Woohoo! Glenna, you're up.
Okay, What's up with that manticore that's in front of me?
That manticore just went by Sariel, and she did, like, put her arms up in a weird hunch shoulder wing fashion for a second and flapped a couple times. And it came up to her, then she scritched it, and now she just looked at you and nodded, and the manticore is absolutely on your side now.
Okay, awesome.
It has a saddle waiting for either you or Eden.
Sariel doesn't want to ride it?
Sariel can be a bird.
Oh, there's a nail bog. I'm gonna with that guy.
Yeah, have a rap battle. Have a bard battle.
There is a little jester goblin next to Eden who just said something weird to her and then pooped her on the shin.
Okay, I'm going to cast Hideous Laughter on him.
Before you do that, roll a charisma check.
Wait, charisma save?
Yes, that would do, finally.
Okay, I rolled 11.
That does not beat 13. As you are busting out your instrument, ready to throw some wicked barbs his way to break his mind and leave him incapacitated, you find him weirdly harmless, likable, and are compelled to compliment him.
This is dumb.
That's not a compliment.
Maybe she's saying that to the whole she was going to fight him thing.
Oh.
I mean, that's not what happened. I said this is dumb because it's dumb that I have to compliment this thing. But maybe that's what happened when she was like, oh, I guess I don't have to fight him. Okay, do I have any other thing I can do right now?
You've still got your move and your bonus action and an information roll if you want to do that.
I would like some information on the nail bog.
Okay. Are you rolling history, arcana, nature, religion?
I'll roll arcana since he seems magical. 10.
It clearly has some kind of ward up that's messing with your perception. That's all you know. It's like, this little goblin is magic, that jerk.
Okay.
But also he's cute.
All right. Guess I'm done.
Do you want to mount the manticore? So when Sariel's turn comes, she can put you somewhere with the manticore?
Okay.
I can fly. It's all yours.
Okay, I mount the manticore while squinting suspiciously at Ilbog.
All right.
It's not normal to just have a feeling of like of something.
Fair. All right, Eden, you're up.
Okay, first, most importantly, I need to give the manticore some head pats.
You can do that as a free action as it walks by.
Oh, that is wonderful. Okay, so I do that. Mm-hmm. And then is Nilbog the one who mocked me?
Yeah.
All right, well then I'm going to bitch slap him.
All right, roll a charisma save. I like that you're all going to die because of this joke character.
It's an 18, baby.
Oh, maybe not. Okay. So are you attempting to do something with this slap or are you intending to just do damage?
Well, both. I was thinking like a punch in the face, but like not a literal one because I don't really have great upper arm strength. I was thinking something more akin to a magical punch in the face.
Oh, so a shocking grasp?
Yeah.
Laser lightning punch?
Falcon punch! Well,
if I had lasers, I would totally use those, but I don't think I do.
Yeah, lightning punch.
Falcon punch! Oh no. Oh no. No!
Doesn't something happen when Eden critically fails, James?
It
Be
used
quiet,
to.
Mark.
Well, I thought a positive thing happened. That's why I was asking.
Not necessarily.
It used to be when she critically failed while casting a spell, a random thing would happen, which could be catastrophically bad, but has tended to be pretty good for you guys. At this point, the Nilbog is doing this little jig next to you, and you go reaching out with a crackling hand that you form into a fist and are gonna go punch him, but it just reaches out and boops your fist and the ground with its staff, so it like grounds your lightning into the water pool that you are currently standing pretty close to.
Oh my god.
Maybe we are gonna die because of this little shithead.
I think this is, hold up. I know you're not a wild mage anymore, but the nature of this character, I think, is going to revert you to that state for this critical fail.
Oh no!
So.
All we had to do was get on the manticore. Get on the manticore.
That was not my job!
No, it's all right. Just let your chinks die in the crater.
It might be awesome. It might be terrible. Let's find out. Would someone be so kind to roll 2d100s for me?
Oh no.
There you go.
Specifically, Eden, I want you to be the master of your own fate.
Okay.
Okay. D100s?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first thing I rolled a 27 for my first D100.
Okay.
I then rolled a 56.
Eden, your feet begin to meld with the stone beneath you. You begin to sink up to your shins, up to your knees. At first you think, oh god, quicksand, that thing that my parents told me about that I didn't think was real. But then you realize you can kind of move through it. To everyone else, it's horrifying because Eden tries to tase this dude and then she just like into the hard obsidian stone of the ground of the city. But to Eden, you suddenly are the stone. You have meld with stone cast upon you and you now have freedom of movement to move through the earth.
Ooh, cool.
Below you, you see, you can feel your senses stretching beyond you in a strange and new way. This giant magma chamber beneath you that has lost a lot of steam by
magma.
Wait, did I say lava?
No, I just wanted to say magma.
Magma.
Galena's the rock person. I mean, Amanda's the rock person. Well, Galena is the rock person, but only name-wise.
A different kind of rock.
Yes, and in this moment, you see the giant magma chamber beneath you having lost a lot of steam. It feels like a large, empty place. Above you, you feel the giant dragon, ancient and venerable. You feel like it doesn't change. Everything else, every building feels like it's different. It's not part of the earth anymore, but that dragon is still part of the earth. You also feel like its claws reach deep below, ready to do an unsportsmanlike table flip with unimaginable tons of earth and stone.
Oh no.
And there we will wrap for the evening.
Oh boy!
Okay, rip. Nice knowing y'all.
Well, it's been a good, 2.5+ years.
With that, our heroes bring the fight to their longtime nemesis, now exposed. But can they prevail when even the Empress's jester is giving them trouble? Find out next time on Sometimes Heroes.
This is actually going a lot better than I thought it would. Usually I'm the one that's we're all gonna die.
So far, nobody has come within inches of death. So...
She says as I scroll over the screen and Geege is just completely surrounded by enemies.
And I'm at half health.
Look, once we get over there...
No, it's fine. Keep playing patty cake with no bog. You're golden.
Ooh, also, unrelated. Well, actually, it's semi-related. I did a Google image search for Galena, and Galena's really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
What a pretty rock.
Yeah, I really... That's why I named her Galena, because I really like that mineral.
It's so shiny.
So shine.
Yes.
Such and full shine, of lead. Very silver. Wow.